Just a few things for explanation. I've had quite a few questions about the material back there. So basically, Victorious Christian Living puts out this discipleship material called SALT, and there are seven areas, and there are four lessons or four diagrams that go with each area. And so if you had to pick one of the areas to focus on, well, we're focusing on it. So if you want to grab one book or take it out, look, that's the very first area, the spiritual area. So I'm going to encourage you to check that out. And there's multiple ways to use it. You can use it just for a personal study. You can use it as a marriage study. You can use it as a small group. You can actually teach it to a whole group of 240 people. So really, there's a variety of ways to use it. For those of you guys who are teachers in different capacities, they have teacher's guides and things like that that you can use. So definitely check those out. And again, if you don't have cash and but you want to pay, you guys can take a book and you guys can actually just let me know and you guys can just send a check to our church. Fair enough? That way, if you guys want to keep your money and buy a bunch of ice cream and spend it at the gift shop, be my guest, okay? A little bit of review. I'm going to ask some of the younger guys to step in on this one and help us because most of us old people are forgetful, right? Right? No? All right. Anybody who's under 10, what did the banner above my head that was here say yesterday? Beautiful. Okay. It said God. And we talked about how God has certain rights. You guys remember that? And we dragged out this caution tape. And the reason we did caution is because we're going to be very careful because there are rights that belong only to God. All right. So off to this side, there was a group over here. And we said because God created all things, he's got three certain rights. The first area, he has the right to what? Control. Yeah, definitely. God has the right to control. And so we start losing a lot of joy. We start losing a lot of just joy in life, honestly, when we try to control things that we were never meant to control. The second area, we pulled the caution tape out. God has an exclusive right, a right only to himself. The right to what? Judge, yeah. So whenever we start judging people, we start, man, you ever found that when you start judging people, you become paranoid that people are talking about you? It's crazy how that is. We just lose all sorts of joy. All right. And then the third area, God has an exclusive right because he's got the copyright on life, is he deserves all praise. And the amount of anxiety, the amount of stress that we endure when we seek praise instead of letting the praise go to God. Okay? Very first person or being that attempted to take God's role, Satan or the angel Lucifer. And the very first people that Lucifer tempted to actually follow his rebellion, Adam and Eve. So the sin in the garden was to jump on the rebellion bandwagon of trying to take God's place. Y'all with me together? All right. So just cool questions. I'm just going to throw it out there. Why does this matter? Lesson one, why does it matter? Parents, for your situation in life, why does it matter? What difference does this make in your parenting? Yeah, you're definitely not God. Yes? Definitely. If your children sense that you're trying to control them but not guide them towards the Lord, there is a rough future in store for you. That's a guarantee for sure. What else, parents? Oh, absolutely. You know, so much as parents, we really want what's best for our children, but actually when we function in these positions, we actually can become the enemy of our children when we're actually trying to help them. That's interesting. Anybody else? Yes. Yes. When you recognize that God has these rights, you actually model for your children that you are under authority. There's times I've disciplined my children and I'm like, Dad does not want to do this, but I'm accountable to God. All right. So the idea of under authority, and my goodness, you want to talk about a cool adult, is when an adult understands that they're under authority, right? So we can teach our kids to be under authority, the freedom that comes with that. All right, kids, let's just say teenagers on down. Why does this matter? I know, maybe quiet for a minute. Why does it matter? We shouldn't control, judge, or seek praise. Yes. It's definitely a lesson to be learned, but right now it seems like you're just obeying your parents. But when you actually live to please the Lord, as you're pleasing your parents, you're actually pleasing God, right? And sometimes things happen in our life that we don't get the control, right? Tell me, you four, were you guys the ones all dressed up in camo yesterday? There was a crew of over here. There's four boys running around here. Besides mine. That was you guys? I think you guys were climbing the gathering place or something. No, I'm joking. Okay? That sometimes things don't happen the way you want them to happen. My boys call it a boring day. Right? Or it's like noon and they haven't conquered the world. And Dad, this is a terrible day. All right? Sometimes things don't happen the way you want them, like going back to school in a week if you're from Wisconsin, right? No, actually on Tuesday. Sorry. All right. But when things don't go our way, we can either trust God or try to control them. And if we try to control them, things like grades in school, sometimes we don't get grades that we want, right? But we try to control them. Sometimes we lose a lot of joy with our teachers. We lose a lot of joy with our parents. Or how about this? When we're at school and we're trying to seek praise from our friends and not just get that from God. When we're trying to seek praise from our friends, sometimes we do things we ought not be doing. That make sense? All right, so that being said, we're going to move on to the second area. If you happen to grab one of the workbooks back there, we're going to walk you through it bit by bit, and my goal is to be, again, shockingly simple. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that it teaches us. Today, I pray that each person here, no matter what age, may experience the freedom and the joy from being in you. And the forgiveness of sin that comes from you. In our short time here, help us to just understand, look to you, and believe, and experience the freedom. In your name we pray. Amen. Have you guys ever received a gift and didn't realize what it was? Has anybody ever received a gift and you didn't really realize what it was? You open up, you're like, thanks, Blondie back here, all right? How about this? How many of you guys have received a gift only to realize sometime down the road how significant that gift was? Like, you got it, like maybe something from your parents, and then maybe your parents passed away, and then you got it, then you had it, and you're like, this is way more valuable than I ever realized. Anybody like that? Only two or three of us in the room? None of you guys have valuable anything? I'll throw another one. Have you guys, you know, throw that picture up here real quick? Oh, there it is. Have you guys ever watched little children open a present that you know your parents or aunts or uncles has paid a lot of money for, and they were way more impressed with the wrapping than they were the actual present? Every Christmas for my kids that were under three, I'm like, crud, honey. I wish we'd have just wrapped a box. It's so much cheaper, you know? So all that to say is sometimes we get gifts. Sometimes we get gifts and things that actually are far more valuable than we realize, and until we a later date. So I just want you to take 2 minutes, 3 minutes, as a family group. What are some things that you inherited from your parents? We're not talking about gifts, we're talking about the way you talk, the way you look, maybe the way you act. What are some things that you've inherited from family in general? The way you act, what are some things you inherited or have become like the people older than you in that? Does that make sense? What are some things you've inherited from those around you? Talk about that as a family. 2 minutes. All right. Attention, please. It's interesting. In our relationship, my wife is by far the better looking. But my poor children, everybody says they look just like their father. And I smile all the time, right? It's funny, everybody at our church, people are like, I don't know how you done it, but you done five kids, all look the same. And they all look like you. They're like all from the same mold. My wife and I see a difference, but people see the exact same look. And then it's squinty eyes, you can't see their face and all that kind of stuff. If you knew my father, you would laugh when you looked at me and the way I act. It's totally funny. So we'll pick on that in a little bit. All right, let's move to the greatest gift. Let's go to this first verse just to kind of open us up together. Can we read this together? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Did we lose it? We got it back. Good. So this is extremely hard to believe, that if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's extremely difficult because here's why. When we were created, for a relationship with God, and we inherited a friendship with him. Okay? But quickly, we see this, Adam and Eve, we see this in our life, we quickly join the rebellion of trying to take God's place. So we don't feel like a new creation. Couple questions I'm going to just give you guys. You look at your life, is it pleasing to God? Have you guys been trying to take God's place? Satan became God's enemy by trying to sit in God's place. Are you behaving like God's enemy or God's friend? I want you guys to ponder that. Are you behaving like God's enemy or God's friend? Because we were created for friendship and relationship, and we see that Adam and Eve quickly began acting like God's enemies. The scripture says in Romans 5:12, it says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. So you guys will see we have a poster over here says Adam. The idea is that Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and therefore their children sinned, and their children's children sinned, and their children sinned. The next diagram shows it this way, that Adam sinned, and therefore he inherited this thing called death, okay? That was his experience. The next passage says this. Can I have somebody in that 8 to 12-year-old range read that off for me? Shout it. Judah. Okay, that includes how many? That includes some of us or a few of us or how many of us, Judah? All of us, okay? Every one of us have sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. So show this next slide for me. So what you see is there's a few dots, these dots after Adam. Adam had, well, we know he had the three and he had many more after that, but the three kids, you guys know who they are? Cain. And Seth. Isn't Seth a great name? I love it. All right. So we know he had a generation of kids, and their kids had another kid generation, and then each dot represents a generation. So we know from the text, from Scripture, that all of sin, Romans 6 captures it this way. Anybody else 12 and under read that one? Come on. For the wages of sin is death. We'll pick up the rest of that verse in a little bit. Go to the next slide for me. We see that the wages of sin is death. Does anybody know, did Adam live forever? He did not. How many of you guys have experienced a grandparent or somebody special to you pass away? Yeah, so last I checked, none of us lives forever because we inherited this sin from Adam, the original man on earth. So death passed to all people and therefore all experience separation from God. So, kids, did you know you inherited death from your dad? All kids in the room say, thanks, Dad. Adults in the room, did you know you inherited sin and death from your dad? All adults say, thanks, Dad. The adults said it with greater enthusiasm for sure. Thanks, Dad. I understand how this has affected me for sure. So go to the next slide real quick. We're going to find out that you inherited sin from your father, who inherited sin from his father, who inherited sin from his father. So because you inherited sin from your father, who inherited sin from his father, you have one identity. You guys know what an idea is, an identity? So when I pull out my wallet, I pull out a driver's license. What does a driver's license tell you? It shows you a picture of who? myself. Then it tells you information like my driver's license number. Then it tells you my height and my my weight. And so I don't like my driver's license, by the way. You'll find out why a little bit later on. But all that to say is my driver's license shows you who I am. And the Bible says that when we were born and we lived, every one of us were born with an ID, a picture ID. You know what that picture ID said? Sinner. That was the identification that God saw when we were born. I want you guys to understand that that's your identification and you can't change that. I want you guys to grasp this morning, that you can't change it in any way, shape, or fashion. That we're going to find, do you want to show the next slide? We're going to find that Jesus Christ, you see the line that has no end. It's got an arrow going point to start to finish. Go back a slide for me. We see that Jesus Christ in Hebrews 13 is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what that's saying is he never changes. He's God, right? So I want you guys to follow along. I'm going to go back to the next slide. There you go. Because Jesus Christ took your punishment through his death on the cross, and he's made you right with the Father based upon what he did in taking your punishment. Go to the next verse, Romans 5:8, actually, I skipped that one. But God showed his great love for us by sending Jesus Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Hop back another slide again, back again. Beautiful. I want you guys to notice, Adam was on his road to death, and so are you. Go back to the next, Romans 5:8. Go up one. There you go. But God showed his great love for us that while we were still on the road, Jesus Christ died for us. Go to the next one. For God sent Jesus to take the punishment for our sins and to satisfy God's anger against us. We were made right with God when we believed that Jesus shed his blood, sacrificing his life for us. One of my high school students at our church, she just got baptized about 6 weeks ago. She's 17, and I'm not joking. This is how she began to understand it. Her mom was sharing the good news of Jesus, and she was having a hard time understanding Jesus taking my place. And then her mom said, Elizabeth, Jesus took your spanking. That makes sense. I got five kids, and if one of them deserves a spanking, and the other one says, Dad, I'll take his spanking. We all get that, don't we? And so Elizabeth tells her story when she was younger that it clicked that she was gonna die separated from God, and she deserved it because of her sin. And she began to realize that Jesus Christ took her punishment, her spanking, for her and gave her a free eternal life. And I just thought that was totally relevant to our time today with the mixed audience here, that Elizabeth began realizing this, that she had to believe in Jesus Christ. Go to the next slide for me. There you go. That's Elizabeth. That's her, you, and any one of your names. You can put your name there. That she realized that her part was to look to Jesus Christ and say, Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I trust that you paid for my sins. As you guys are, we're moving on, you guys can feel free to write some of these things in and follow along with us. Now, our part is to believe. God's part is to actually transfer us to eternal life. Go to this next verse. I absolutely love this verse, Colossians 1:13. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son. Chronicles of Narnia. Edmund, you guys know that one? Remember Edmund? He actually betrayed. He went to the queen and he got stuck in there and he got thrown in. And it's this captured idea that rescued from the domain of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of his beloved son. The idea that Edmund joined the rebellion in the same way we've joined the rebellion. We've tried to take up one of God's privileges that belong exclusively to him. So he transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son. So let's go to the next slide here. We're seeing that our part is to believe in Jesus Christ. God's part is to transfer us, make us new, give us eternal life on the road we call Jesus. So this is God's part. So when you believe what Jesus did for you on the cross, paid for your sins, you are no longer a sinner. The ID no longer says Seth Meeks, sinner. The ID now says Jesus Christ. What? The ID is, now when God looks at our ID, he sees a forgiven child of his. I'm going to just run down through a half dozen things that are true if you believe in Jesus Christ. Let's look at them together. There you go. The first one is you've been given new life. Any new babies in the room? Let's say under 6 months. You got a baby in the room? Anybody? Are they in the other room? Okay. I like new babies as long as I don't have to change their diapers. And as long as they're not keeping me from sleep, right? I've had enough sleep deprivation. And my wife says, what are you talking about, right? You've been given a new life, being born again. Born like a new baby, spiritually. What's the verse we have for it? 1 Peter 1:23, for you have been born again. Your new life did not come from your earthly parents because the life they give you will end in death. But this new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living word of God. The second thing that's true about you, if you've looked at Jesus Christ and believed, is this. So let's go to the next one. You've been made a new creation. And this was our first verse. Go on to the next one. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, it's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And this is something for me that is huge because when I came to faith in Jesus, I still fundamentally thought of myself as my ID as a sinner. The third one is this. You have a new future. Let's go to this one. You don't think of it this way. But for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. As a young child, I see like your guys' age. Yep. You guys over here. I was deathly afraid of the future. I was terrified of the future. I was terrified of being kidnapped. I was terrified of being separated from my family. I was terrified of dying. I was terrified of a lot of these things. And the Bible says that when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we don't have to be afraid of the future. It changes everything. Go on to the next one. We've been given a new past. Galatians 2:20 captures it this way. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We'll go on to just a few more here. Thirdly is, you are God's child. John 1:12 captures this way. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. You become a child of God. This is an adopted child. I just think this is so cool. And again, I don't know if there's adopted kids in here, but I just want to just say this. When you come to faith in Jesus, all of us are adopted. And there's something cool about adopted. I actually didn't choose my children. They came along, right? There's something cool about adoption. What's cool about it? You get to choose. If you're physically adopted in this room, somebody came to you and said, I choose you. That's cool. They didn't have to. I choose you. That is incredibly difficult to understand, why somebody would choose to love and accept me even though they don't have to. That is incredibly difficult. In physical adoption, I know a lot of people struggle with that because it's so hard. I want you guys to understand this. Every one of us are adopted spiritually if we put our faith in Jesus Christ. Every one of us. This is why the gospel is so difficult to grasp and understand, because somebody said, I choose you. It's so cool. And lastly, here it says this, you are God's friend. And the verse says this, for since we were restored to friendship with God by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be delivered from eternal punishment by his life. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us in making us friends with God. So go on to the next slide here. So the idea is you have a new future and a new past, and you have a new identity. God's friend, God's child, a new creation. So I want to encourage you all, if even today you're at a point of saying, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, what he did for me to pay for my sins, and God's transferred you over to a new life, eternal life, you can be fooled to think of yourself as the old thing. You can almost be fooled to think of yourself as a cleaned up car, but you're much, much more than that for sure. I want to encourage you to not hold on to past identities, but hold on to the new person that Christ made you to be. Go back to that last slide. In my life, I told you guys when I came to faith in Jesus, the fear of the future. That was the very first thing that began changing for me, is that when I came to trust in Jesus, the future began to change. But there's a more recent one in 2010 for me. I was actually a pastor at the church, and I was slowly putting on the pastor weight. You guys know what the pastor weight is? I'm sorry. Maybe it's just the parent weight. I don't know what it is. But sitting in an office, eating food with teenagers, and just weight began creeping on. And it was an area of my life where I had control. I was living out actually my old identity. You know, my family's all beefy, so therefore I'm beefy, and I'm the thinnest one in the family. So it's really, that's just the way I was created. And I'm convinced that when Jesus Christ gave us eternal life, he also came to give us life to its fullest. He came to bring us freedom. And this particular year in 2010, I was reading in scripture, and I was reading on this whole identity issue about you're bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. And in particular, I've been thinking of myself as that sinner of, you know, broken body, it's broken down, that's just the way it is. And it began being convicted that, no, Jesus changed not just my eternal destination, but he changed me. And so I decided I'm going to do the very thing I hate the most. I'm going to start running. Runners? Put them up. How many of you guys got one of those bragging stickers on your car? I do. All right. So I decided I was going to go out for a run. 10 o'clock at night, right? I put on my cruddy old New Balance shoe, because how many runners know you don't wear New Balance to go run? I'm not wearing New Balance, no way. All right. So I go out running. And I'm telling you what, if you know Port Washington, it's a downhill all the way to the lake. I decided I'm going to run 1.2 miles down, and I'm going to run 1.2 miles back. But I've never run more than a mile in my life. Very ambitious. So I get down to the lake, and I decide to come back. And I literally am out in the street, 10:30 at night, got my hands in the air, and I'm crying out to God, God, if you say I'm a new creation, please make this happen. And I'm literally shouting down the road. I sound like a crazy maniac running through Port Washington. I actually managed to do the 2.2 miles and got back to the house, and I walked in the door feeling like I was going to die. And I told Anya, I was like, but this is not about my weight. This is about committing to actually live out this new identity. And I want you guys to know, about the third weekend, I decided I was going to start quoting scripture, all the scripture I knew. And the third weekend, I came across this passage, Galatians 2:20. It's one of those I committed to memory. I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And as I was running, I was like, oh, that's a good one. Anyway, so I repeated again. And about the fifth time, I'm just went by experience. It was like, oh my goodness, Lord, I came to this new understanding that I had been thinking of myself as me and Jesus. And the Lord began revealing to me, Seth, you never had and you never will have anything to bring to the table. You're only living and breathing because your identity is my son, Jesus Christ. And I literally felt a release of, God, I'm yours. Now, I will tell you this. To 2010, October, I felt like I've been at the church now 5 years. I've gone through Bible school. I felt like, man, I got this whole gospel thing figured out. And I'm absolutely convinced from then that if you are getting tired of hearing the gospel, you don't get it. Because it changes everything, and it's continuing to change me. So don't hold on to your past identities, your past failures, your past successes. Hang on to who you are in Jesus Christ. Let's go to the next verse and we'll close it up. Paul, the apostle, he picked it up this way. He says, you know, I once thought all these things were so very important, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything is worthless when compared with the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I've discarded everything else, counting all as garbage, so that I can may have Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own goodness, my own ability to obey God's laws, but I trust Christ to save me. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. So, here's what I want you guys to just grasp today, that everyone must believe in Jesus Christ to get that new identity. And the rest of our life, we're going to be living this out. Judah, why don't you come on up here, buddy? And I want to encourage you guys with this, that when you look to Jesus Christ, your identity is not your work, it's not your school, it's not your debt load, it's not your cutting, it's not your pornography, it's not your unfaithfulness, your financial failures, it's not your friends, your family, your toys, your body, your food, or your house, or your kids, or your parents. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross pays the penalty for our sins, but it also changes our identity. I grabbed my son, Judah. My boys actually are all, they all understand the good news of Jesus Christ. I've had the joy of working that through with them, and pretty cool. But I'm going to walk Judah over here real quick. And I asked him, he was a good sport. Good sport, all right. So everybody, I want you guys to understand this one thing, and I've put this out here for today, and it's going to stay here for today, is that my son Judah, how many 9-year-olds in the house? Put them up high. You're not 9 years old, put them up high. You guys can identify with Judah, okay? All right, so my son Judah was born back in 2005. Yeah, 2005 in a little tiny apartment in Chicago. Yes, all right. So my son Judah was born, and he was really born with a smile, was he not, honey? The kid has not stopped smiling. His name means praised, and he sings all day. He was driving his parents and his brothers crazy this morning just singing. It was great. All right, so since then he's been singing, but one thing we know is true about Judah. From his dad, he received one thing, death. Because his dad received it from his dad, and his dad received it from his dad. So Judah's dad's name is Seth, and I was a sinner. That was my identity. My dad's name is Randy, and I got death from my dad. Now, hang on, my grandfather's name is Cloyd. That's an odd name. But he loved the Lord Jesus, but one thing my father got from him was death, all right? And then it just goes right down the line. My great-grandpa's name was John. He passed on to my grandpa, Cloyd. Yep, and I got one more grandpa in there, and his name's Oscar. So here we go. So isn't that a cool name? Yeah, it is. All right, so we know Judah received sin from his dad. Every one of these wooden blocks represent a generation. That's grandpa, 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 grandpa. And we're going to walk on down this. I want you guys just to grasp this. So this piece of wood is Randy, okay? And this piece of wood is Seth. And this piece of wood is Judah. And this is where everybody finds themselves this week or at some time in their life. Every one of us, every age. We're at a place of understanding that I've sinned and I'm actually on a road. You guys see the caution tape? You guys see this? There's a reason behind the caution tape. Because if you're headed to bridge out, I would hope there's a caution tape or there's a sign that says, you better pay attention, okay? I want you guys to follow. Kids under 14, somebody shout out, what's that sign say back here? Death, okay? So Judah, I don't like to talk about death with Judah, but I'm a very loving father and I care about if there's a bridge out, I'm gonna talk to him about it. Does that make sense? All right, so Judah's at a place where he understands he sins, and he understands God's holiness and his purity. At some point in Judah's life, which Judah actually has and is trusting in, he's had to understand, uh-oh, I've gotten junk from my dad, and I am a sinner, and I've done some pretty bad stuff. And he's got to take his head, turn it to the cross of Jesus Christ, and he has got to say to Christ, I trust in you alone. Judah has to trust in him, not in his good works, not in his ability to be a meek man or whatever it is, not in his idea of a driver's license, but he says, Jesus, I trust in you to pay for my sin. And that is Judah's part. There's something cool about it. While Judah puts his trust or belief in Jesus, God picks him up, brings him over the caution line, and he steps him over into this new identity. Now, Judah is no longer in this road towards death, and he's no longer in the line of death at all. Now, he can sometimes think, oh, man, that's who I used to be, but it's no longer who he used to is now. So it's our job to trust in Jesus Christ. It's God's job to transfer us into a new life. Every single one of us is going to find ourselves either here, leading to death, or if you've come to trust in Jesus Christ, here, walking towards eternal life. Now, Judah can't brag about this, can he? He cannot, because it's Jesus Christ who put him on this road to eternal life. So, Judah, you can walk on through. So, here's what I want you guys to do today. You guys are going to actually, in the back of your sheet that you guys were following along, there's different questions you guys can walk through and talk through. And what I want you to do as parents, I want you to walk through this. Maybe some of you adults, I've tried to keep this simple. Maybe some of you adults have been around church, gone to camp, but maybe you've not understood that Scripture teaches there's nothing you can do but believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe today you need to say, you know what, camp, Labor Day, that's when I understood what Jesus, the Son of God, did for me, and I put my trust in him alone. For some of you kids, I want you guys to listen up. Today's going to be a cool opportunity. Mom and Dad are going to read through some of these questions and answer them. And I would love for you guys to talk through some of those questions right in this very room throughout the day. So whatever time works for you guys, we're going to leave this set up. And I want to encourage you guys to find an identity or identification or location around this area and talk through the talking point of, have every one of you come to a place of looking to Jesus Christ alone to pay for your sins? And I want you to talk about, what difference does that make in your life today? Because becoming a child of God by adoption changes everything. It changes everything. And you'll continue to learn that year after year. You'll be 60 years old learning that and discovering what difference that makes. Y'all with me on that? All right. I am not God. I don't have the right to control, judge, or seek praise. Jesus Christ didn't do those things. And when we jump on that bandwagon, we join in a rebellion. That rebellion put us on a road leading to death, that Jesus Christ, that just the right time, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, that those who will believe in him can have eternal life. Cool news, isn't it? It's fantastic. This changes everything. And my goal, my prayer before this time, honestly, guys, if nothing else happens, if some of you adults or children alike come out of here saying, Jesus Christ paid for my sins, and it changes my identity, changes everything. You come out of here believing and trusting in him alone. Absolute win. Things are fantastic. I'm so glad to be here if I could be part of that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these truths. In ourselves, we make up all sorts of silly ways to get ourselves back to you. I know some of us think that if we just go to church and somehow do the religious thing and even go to camp, somehow we think that somehow those silly actions put us in right relationship with you. I'm sorry for the insult that we've caused you through our rebellion and the insult of rejecting your son, Jesus Christ. I pray for every person, adult or child alike here, that each of us today would identify with Adam, would understand and think through who we currently are or used to be, and that today we just all in our hearts lift up you, Jesus, in a special place of praise, trusting in you, your death and your resurrection to pay for our sins, your life to bring life to us. that we could live a new life. I pray that this would change marriages in the room, that this would change parent-child relationships, that this would change sibling relationships, that your gospel would bring us freedom. Thank you again for the forgiveness of our sins. In your name we pray. Amen.